Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So we're proceeding with U.S. versus Ross. Mr. Halperin, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much.
All right. You may proceed.
Thank you. Your Honor, the sole issue in this plea-based non-agreement conviction is whether the trial court judge expressed that she was bound by the sentencing guidelines law instead of expressing her recognition that of the advisory nature of the guidelines and articulating her reasons for not departing. In imposing her sentence, the bottom of that guideline, the court stated, amongst other things, I agree...
Mr. Halperin,
yes.
Before you go too far, don't I recall that she said, the court said, I do have the power, and I'm quoting, I do have the power to give you a different sentence, but I need some kind of good reason for it. Otherwise, I have to give you the guideline sentence. Isn't that what she said?
This is the sentencing transcript?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, doesn't that indicate that she knew she had the power to give a different sentence?
She obviates that in her statement, though.
She says, I do have the power to give you a different sentence, but I need a good reason for it. There's nothing wrong with that. It indicates she knows she can give a different sentence. She wants to know a good reason she doesn't have one.
Well, then at that point in time, though, that she simply clearly backs off of that by saying that she has no, it's not her judgment. It's not her decision to make. And,
where does she say that?
I agree with what was stated by your family, and I think but the decision is not my decision. It's a legislative one. It isn't my judgment that rules on that. It's Congress's judgment.
Congress is certainly responsible for the guidelines, and she's presumed to be reasonable if she stays in the guidelines.
That certainly is correct, and that certainly, obviously, and that's not the issue here.
The issue is whether she knew she had the power to change, and she said very explicitly she did.
I don't believe that. I expressed that I think that there was we can all conjecture and surmise as to what she was referring to when she made the statements that I put into my... she says, I can't go below the guideline. I wish there was something I can do, but I can't. That's a quote also. She's expressing, and whether or not, as they say, we can conjecture or surmise by saying that perhaps the Roberson decision had some chilling effect on her. That's a surmise. The prosecution and possibly Your Honor, by Your Honor's question, that she was really expressing a mandate of the facts in the case. Maybe she was conjecturing. What did she mean? And obviously, she undoubtedly knew and then expressed that. Even Cunningham, at no time does the trial court express it's saying that the guidelines were advisory in nature, and not in the least bit. Just by the quotes that I've indicated, we can try to interpret what the court meant by I can't. Maybe the court meant by I can't that she won't, but that's not what she said.
Well, it certainly is somewhat ambiguous because she never made that saying that I'm not bound by them, but you have to show a reason. Did you represent the defendant at sentencing?
I did, yeah.
And that was post-Booker, of course.
Of course. And it was very post-Booker. I suggest it was just post Roberson, and I think that Roberson was not only a reversal, but I think it was a strongly worded decision that I believe had some effect on the judge's decision the next day.
Anything further?
I think she abdicated her discretion, and by doing so, I think it's a miscarriage of justice. We have an unclear situation that we can conjecture about, but if it's unclear and we're defined as we all are by that transcript, I'm asking for the relief that's being sought and resentenced. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from the government now.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Matthew Getter on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, it's plainly clear from the transcript of the sentencing.
Nothing is plainly clear from this transcript. The district court said the following, and I'll quote, "The fact that I may think that the harm that's done by a sentence like this in terms of Mr. Ross's family members and his children may be greater than is necessary to deal with the drug problem, that doesn't matter, because it isn't my judgment that rules on that. That is exactly wrong. Now that the guidelines are advisory, isn't a district court allowed and, in fact, required to make just these kind of judgments?"
The district court is required, Your Honor, and in this case, the district court did just what it was required to do. Judge Gottschall's comment about the trouble she was having with the fact that, in her view, the guidelines suggest a range that is disproportionate to the harm that would be done to the family was more in the nature of Judge Gottschall's issues with the guidelines themselves. Despite the fact that she wrestled with the guidelines in that way, she made it, I believe, clear that she knew she was empowered to go below the guidelines, because she began the colloquy on page 28 of the transcript by saying, "Let me get to the bottom line. I don't see any reason why the guideline sentence isn't appropriate in this case." And then went on to say,
"Tell me this. What possible interpretation can we give to a district court judge's comment, 'I have to give you the guideline sentence,' other than she thought she was stuck with the guideline sentence?" Actually, if you could help me with this, instead of giving real consideration to his familial situation, to his work history, she certainly, in my view, acquiesced to Congress's judgment, and that's a quote from her, and sentenced him to the bottom of the guidelines range, which she said is the lowest sentence that's possible. So,
because the district court felt that the guidelines range itself was too high. When she said, "I'm going to give you the lowest possible sentence within the guidelines range," the interpretation that I think is most appropriate here is that she began as she was supposed to by looking at the guidelines range, and then evaluated the 3553A factors and decided, after considering the 3553A factors, that it didn't warrant a sentence below the guidelines range. Therefore, given what the guidelines range is, she sentenced at the low end of it. She's not saying I can't sentence below it. She's saying, given my consideration of the factors, I don't think it's appropriate to go below it.
Look, she might have meant to convey something different, but we have to look at all of the things she said. And what she said, looking at it in the absolute best light, is ambiguous. In the best light, it's ambiguous. And in the worst light, it was, this back and forth, and her coming to the conclusion that she had to sentence him to the bottom of the guidelines range.
What brought the government to contest remanding this for Palladino remand?
My recollection, Judge, is there was never a request from the appellant to remand for to send back for a Palladino remand. That's my recollection. I don't think that was asked for. I don't think, given the transcript here, I acknowledge Judge Roedner's comments about the ambiguity in Judge Gottschall's statements. But given the full context of her evaluation, starting on page 28, I don't think it's I think it's clear that she did this the right way, that she began with the guidelines range, analyzed, she went through an analysis of the 35-3 factors, the aggravating factors as well as the mitigating factors, and ended up concluding there's no reason, it's not appropriate to go below the guidelines.
Not a Palladino remand. What about just a straight remand for resentencing?
I still don't think it's appropriate, Judge, given the transcript.
Why?
Because I don't think it's sufficiently ambiguous for there to be such a remand for a question.
Why do you care? Why do you care?
Why do I care?
Just goes back down. She gets another crack at it. If she wants to give that same sentence, she can give the same sentence.
Well, Judge, I think that if we were to send, if the court were to send a case back down to the district court every time there was some ambiguity in the transcript.
Not every time.
This is
a particular case. We're not in the habit of just randomly sending cases back for resentencing. But in this case, where it is ambiguous, why not give her another shot if she likes, as Judge Bauer said, if she said, well, yeah, I knew what I could do, and I'm giving this same sentence again.
Judge, I
agree with you, you understand. But I don't think there's anything wrong with sending it back down and letting her take another shot at it. I agree with your analysis, and I would do that, but it doesn't make any difference. And I don't get involved with things that don't make any difference.
Well, Judge, Your Honor, for the reason I set forth,
you should be looking over there.
We believe that it should not be sent back down to the district court. We think the analysis is clear enough that the sentence should be affirmed. Thank you very much.
You know, it seems to me that the last thing on earth you, as the government, want is this kind of ambiguous, conflicting statements. It doesn't help.
It's possible there won't be any further ambiguity in the court system on the subject.
I hope you're right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Halperin, anything further?
I want to only, again, please express the appreciation that I have for allowing me to do this by phone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Halperin. Case will be taken under advisement.